Welcome to Real Women of Bastrop, where small-town charm meets big-time grit. I'm your host, Lindsay Kana, sixth-generation Bastropian, realtor, and community cheerleader. Around here, we're more than big hair. We're business owners, mamas, creatives, and quiet powerhouses. And this podcast, well, it's pulling back the curtain on the stories, struggles, and strength of the women who keep this town running. Because every woman has a story, and around here, we believe yours matters. Let's get into it. All right. Well, today we have Laurie and Caitlin Ingram, mother-daughter duo. And Laurie and I have been friends for a while now. And even before that, she and my dad were friends. And so just know their family and really well and adore all of the Ingrams. But I wanted to have y'all on today because just from what I've experienced being around the two of you is y'all have such a great relationship as a mother and daughter and as friends. And it's really hard. You know, that it's rare. It's a rare thing. And so I wanted to have you on to talk through that. And if you can give any insight into how, and I'm going to kind of tear up because it really is so sweet and special. Wow. And it really is not that common. So I want you to both know that it's mother-daughter relationships can kind of be like, well, not kind of, they can be hard and difficult. And I'm not saying y'all's is perfect. I'm sure there have been difficult times, but from what I see, y'all travel together and you speak highly of one another. And it just feels like you're both on each other's side and really support one another. Right. So I would love to just hear a little bit about, you know, the teen years and growing up and those more difficult, challenging times and how you navigated those.
I actually feel like it's so interesting that you said y'all are on each other's side because we talked and we really decided that that was one of the more defining moments in our relationship going from, there were definitely times in my teenage years, I would say right until I was like 14 years old before I realized, wait, she is on my side. She does want the best for me. And so we kind of talked through, I think the four really big things for me to get kind of cross that bridge from going from your mom to more of a friend was I always knew she really, truly believed in me. And then she gave me the support to back that up. And then we had that consistent communication on a daily basis that really got me to believe that she was on my side and that the rules that you're setting and maybe some of the comments and the helpful suggestions really were to help me instead of to be a lot of times as a, like, teenager, you think it's, you just don't want me to have friends and you just don't want me to have fun. And it really just crossing that to, oh, you want me to become this great person. And all these little things you're doing is to help me get there. So I think that was probably one of the biggest moments for me.
So I love this topic because I think with social media, there's so much pressure on girls to be perfect and look this. And one of the questions that I think is important today to talk about is how moms can resonate with their daughter about learning to love their mind and their body and not buying into negative. And I know Caitlin gets tired of me saying things like that, like negative attention, and teaching our daughters not to buy into negative attention, whether that's negative attention from friends or boyfriends or social media or promiscuity or things like that. Like, as moms, what do we do to help them have that confidence of mind and body? And how does that translate into a teenager, but then watching Caitlin grow into a full adult and making her own decisions? And let me say that I had a colorful background as a child. It's not a secret. My mom was married 5 times. So one of the things for me was making sure when I had kids that I truly built a very committed and open relationship with my kids. Mm-hmm. And Clay and I are adventurous in nature anyway. Yep. And we were together so long that we trust each other, and building that relationship with our kids was so, so important because, you know, with my background, I just knew that I needed to do something very different with my kids and have an actual open, honest relationship with my kids. So I do have a question for Caitlin, and I really do want to know, you know, are there some things from your perspective that helped you become a confident woman? That was it people? Was it events? Was it community? Was it family? Was there anything defining that you feel like this gave me the confidence that I needed that I didn't have?
I wish I would have had a bit more time to think about that one. But I do think the sense of team kind of does go throughout our entire family. I think so. It's me, my mom, and my brother. And there's not a single problem or anything I face or any situation that I don't go to one of the three of them. Yeah. And I do think that kind of stemmed from watching my parents' marriage as we grew up. They did that with each other. And then it ultimately kind of, we all do it to each other. So I think that really helped.
Let me stop you right there. As you said, you know, you felt like you could go to one of them. And so when you were going to your mom would you go to her with, you know, big problems, little problems? I mean, was she a constant for you to kind of vent to, or how did that feel?
She was, and she definitely was for the little problems. We've always been big on the, what should we wear and what should we do? And that's always been something we've connected on. And so I think having those little things that you connect on, whether it's a hobby or like, even now, yesterday we walked and just talked for a long time and just having those activities together.
I mean, are there some triggers and that happen? Like, one of the things that I know for sure was Caitlin was a little bit of an introvert. And then when Caitlin started in cheer, you could kind of see that Caitlin was growing confidence in herself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like some of the things that we started doing in our family really was the pivotal moment, because when you travel and you have a hobby together, what happens when you go on trips just with your family, no friends, is you remove all the stress from school or sports or a job, or for me, it was campaigning, and you get to just be your chill self. And what does that look like? Because when you spend 10 hours, you know, with your kids all day long, you really get to have some honest conversation. But what happens in every one of those trips that you're just doing together is some things in the world fall out, where you're not fighting with each other and you're not worried about what's happening in the world. And so every time we went on a trip, I felt like we came back stronger. More connected, more trusting in that we're in it together. Yes. And that when you do those trips, because we started doing trips instead of gifts, and you know, now we've been skiing for 20 something years together, and that those trips became our sanctuary where we really felt empowered to come back and take on the world together, because we had just spent 6 days, 10 hours together, having the best time with the laughs, and it just, all the stresses fall away.
And kind of to build on that, I do think that was kind of the foundation for like true friendships between me and my brother and me and my mom and all of us, I think. And then as that progressed, I do want to spend time with them because I can be myself. And we are honest. When you spend that much time together, you find the things you love to do together and you find the things that are alike and like each other's sense of humor and all of those things. So whether it's vacations or even just spending that good time together without it feeling like, don't take away Friday nights from your kids. Please don't do it. Let them go be. But Sunday night dinner, I think that's definitely a good starting place.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the dinner aspect, right, is so important. All sitting down at the table together, because a lot of families might not have that luxury to travel, you know, all the time, or might not have even the schedule to where they can every night come together, you know, especially as teenagers and all the things and extracurricular activities. Yeah. But just one day a week of carving out a few hours and having that time with each other and talking, you know, no devices, just actually speaking with each other and talking about highs and lows and what's really going on and laughing. I think it is so important, and just bonding that way. Yeah.
But I also want to say, I've seen it forced where I've had friends say, oh, I have to go to dinner, or I have to blah, blah, blah. For me, it was always, oh, hey, me and my family are going to. And yeah. So whether it's like, go play pickleball or go do something that y'all all enjoy, whether it's someone's favorite meal or just something like that, we just always did things that I wanted to be there is yeah. what I kind of felt.
Yeah. And that probably comes from, and I'm speaking for you, Lori, but probably because you created that open environment to where they felt safe, like they could talk to you. And so you really are, you know, interacting in your genuine, authentic self and not, you know, I'm sure there were times where she came to you and you're like, oh my gosh, like, how do I respond to this?
Or, you know, I mean, Caitlin, it's not a secret. Caitlin might not be the best driver, and we have some, you know, some ups and downs with that, and like calling the first time she ever had a wreck. But let me just say, I mean, trust is earned. So trust is earned on both sides, right? And I, as parents, you give. I trust you to be a good person and make good decisions. And at some point in time, you've done everything. You've taught them from right, from wrong. You know they can make good decisions. So the trust is there. And until they break that, you have to continue to let them make those decisions. And to be honest with you, we really always treated our kids like adults.
Yeah.
And that one of the things that, at least for me in my life and my colorful childhood, was really about problem solving and really putting in a lot of effort in life, because things didn't come super easy for me. I was never the smartest student. And so for Chandler and I, it's a lot of this is about effort. And for Caitlin and Clay, they are brilliantly smart. And so, you know, when the four of us come together, like Caitlin said, we get a little bit of something from each family member, that if I'm not strong in something, we trust and we have that bond where one of us is going to be available at all costs to really solve the problem. But it's about trust earned on both sides. You have to treat your kids like adults and let them make those decisions. And then they have to trust you that when they call you with a problem, that you aren't going to come down on them. Because I don't want you to lie to me. I want you to be honest with me. I want to have an open dialogue and feel comfortable about those things. So I think trust is earned on both sides. And as moms with teenagers, and anyone listening to this, really go to your kids and tell them, I really want you to be honest with me. I want you to tell me if you're being bullied. I want you to tell me how you feel about your body. I want you to tell me what's happening in school. And then it's mostly about just listening.
Yeah, listening.
They really need a sounding board.
Someone to talk to.
Someone to talk to. They don't really need you to solve their problem because, you know, we do expect, and we did raise our kids expecting them to learn how to solve problems, because life is mostly about solving problems. Yeah. And the better problem solver you are, the easier life is, right? And so we have a favorite saying.
I was hoping this would come up. I was thinking it.
We do say this a lot. And especially as Chandler was, you know, like 14 and Kayla was 12. And then we used to say, don't cause me a problem. And I know that sounds so silly.
It's actually very practical, though, and I really will probably one day when I have kids use this as well, because it doesn't mean be boring and do nothing and anything like that. It means if you're going to push the envelope, make sure you're then able to fix it. Yeah. And so I do think even in like adult situations, it's been very helpful for, oh, there's this huge problem. We don't panic. There's no like chaos. It's more of like, okay, what are logical steps I can do to fix this in the most efficient manner possible? Because a lot of times she, you know, she was coming home in an hour or, you know, something like that.
I love it.
That's a specific example, but it translates quite well into like actual skills that I think we've been able to use. Chandler specifically really did that.
Yeah, teaching your kids to be street smart and problem solvers and good negotiators. Just even, and I know that it sounds like you can't talk about those things with your teenager, but you really can. It's negotiating. And if you come to me with a proposal of going to a concert that sounds outlandish or crazy and my mom and dad are never going to go to it, I want you to come to me and I want you to present it in a thought out manner and make your best case. And I'm going to be honest, and I am going to listen to you, because I think one of the things that parents don't do is truly let their kids have an opinion about something, that I'm just going to tell you how it is.
Right. Right. And I don't mean to interrupt, but they were always very good about explaining, you have to be home at 12:30. And I would say, well, why?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's scarier to drive at night. The roads are more dangerous at that time. Blank, blank, blank. All very valid reasons. And so I'd say, okay. But if they couldn't really come up with any reason, hey, I want you to stay home on Friday. Well, why? Mm-hmm. And if there wasn't really a reason, then there was an opportunity for negotiation. And I do think that also contributed to her feeling more of a team instead of just, you're going to do what I say. Like that authoritarian kind of mindset, it was more of the style of like cooperation almost.
And that's a good point, because I do think that there is a switch. There is a switch that really kind of at some point where you're not being the strong parental role.
Which they still did. Don't get me wrong. There were still moments in time for sure. But the little things.
Yeah. And when that switch flips to where you really become friends instead of just parents.
Yes.
And you can really enjoy each other's company, because Caitlin is super witty. And I want to say a couple of things that I really admire about Caitlin. Her love language is telling people sweet and kind things. So when Caitlin walks into a room, she's instantaneously likable and genuinely kind. Mm-hmm. So I love that about her, because then it helps me be, more peaceful, more kind, and more thoughtful. Yeah. And when Chandler walks into a room, he kind of commands attention. And so each of us play our little parts. And I feel like when that switch flips to becoming friends, and that's what you see right now, is yes, we are friends and we're not that parental control thing anymore. And we get to really enjoy each other's company. That's the quan spot to be in, right? And as they grow and get older and we get other people into our family, it's about that effective and open communication. My daddy used to have a saying, and I do try to live by it. It's be open, be honest, be available.
Yeah.
And I tried to always make sure that my kids know that regardless of what is happening in my life, what's going on in the world, their dad and I are always available.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I'm always going to solve your problem, because we were pretty good at, hey, you got yourself into a sticky situation.
Yeah.
Let's let you figure it out.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And I do think that's a good thing for parents to do instead of solving. Because right now, we're in a place where parents solve their kids' problems a lot. That let's go back to trusting that you've given your kids all the tools in the toolbox to really solve their problems. Because then when you get to work and college and all those things where someone is expecting and paying you money to do that, it's pretty important to be able to make good decisions.
I think, you're setting your kids up for what's going to happen later in life, which is negotiations and problem solving and all those important things that you're going to come across. And so to be able to do that with your own family is the most important thing. And I love that you said, Lori, that, you're always available. And that they know that while you might not be the first person she runs to, she knows you're there and she knows that she can count on you to be there for her and just to even talk to. So,
yeah. And I do want to give accolades, because it really does take a community. And I love the community that we live in. If you were to talk to teachers and grandparents and friends, I mean, it was a community effort, and just living in Bastrop and really honing this in is that when you live in a small community like we do, there is the trust.
Yep.
And letting our kids know that we do know everything that's going on, someone's going to tell us. But on top of that there's always somebody going to be there to help you solve your problem and take care of you. And I love that about community. It's one of the best things about living in Bastrop. And, one day I'm hoping that my grandkids will be here.
Hint, hint. No pressure.
Don't worry.
She's already built a house for you.
Chandler's up first on the chopping block. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Oh, let him handle that first.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. What, Lori, do you have other questions for Caitlin? You said you had a few. Do you want?
Caitlin, is there anything like, you know, just as far as if somebody were watching, if you were to give a mom with teenagers, what's some of your best advice?
Yeah, good one.
I think she's very observant. And so she could always kind of tell if there was something wrong. Yeah. And it may take me, I vividly remember several times, it may take me 3 days to work up the courage to even just say it out loud to anyone. Yep. And I think she was persistent in it. And the like, hey, you're doing okay. She wasn't overbearing. It wasn't, you must tell me, what did you do? It was more of like, hey, what's bothering you? And then she always knew there were always like tears in my eyes. And I was like, mm-mm. And then I would eventually come back. Yes, it was most of the time right before she was going to bed. And she was still willing to talk. And I think that was also a huge, huge part of our relationship and me being able to open up and her becoming my best friend is that she was there and did give me that space.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes parents need a moment. And when you don't give the kids, and I'm going to be honest with you, now with emails and text messaging, you have that opportunity to sit down without taking any of the negativity away and write some things and communicate in a really professional manner. You know, we've gotten text messages from Chandler about certain things, and we've been able to take all of that in without anyone yelling, without any hard feelings, without stuff like that. And so when we sit down and really send a text message, then we take it to heart because it is done very thoughtfully.
And then you're able to kind of communicate your first thoughts. Here recently, I was thinking about going to law school. I'm still thinking about it, but I was just I was just a little scared to kind of tell the family. I knew that wasn't necessarily something they want to pay for, and all of those things. And she sent me a text, and it was really good, and it was very helpful, and like communicated her thoughts. And then we were able to meet in person and I was able to have a platform to speak without it so much fear almost.
I knew she had been wanting to talk about it, and I knew that she was building courage like kids do. They build that courage and to come to you with a difficult situation. And I went ahead and took the step to write the text message to open the dialogue. And I feel like the great thing, whether it's social media or text messaging or anything, that even in my own marriage, instead of my knee-jerk reaction thing, which is what used to happen in my family, was screaming and hollering and fighting and things like that. And you know, a long time ago, I figured out that effective communication is really important because people can be communicating all day long, but effective communication is very different. And if you remove some of those hard feelings and the way something comes out and the look on your face, and you really read something before you send it, and your kids get a minute to digest it, they'll figure out that you really are trying to make a good point.
But I almost feel like that works well for us now, but we didn't do that when I was younger. I mean, we're not living in the same house anymore. That changes things.
But even now, with phones, cell phones, everybody has a cell phone. And so we didn't have that obstacle. But for us and our family, I do think writing out a thoughtful, well put together text message works for us.
Yeah, I think it's just finding out what works well in your family. Yeah. That does work well for us because we do tend to, you know, maybe be a little emotional sometimes. Right. So I think that level of like removing that helps us. But I'm sure for like, if any of us were still introverted, which none of us are, it might be more difficult to do that. So I think it's just finding out what works for you and your family.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. Y'all are so cute. Has your relationship, have y'all always been close? Like, have y'all always felt that closeness? times, or was there a turning point that brought you even closer? I know you mentioned earlier, Caitlin, that when you were, I think after 14, you kind of, you pivoted and realized that your mom was actually for you, not really against you.
Well, I think we were always pretty close. Like, we always did a lot together. I felt like we were always doing stuff, but I think, I think when I was 14, it was a lot of the rules seemed to kind of go into play there. And some of the rules for me were different than Chandler. And I was having a very hard time with that of, well, yes, he was a little bit older, but I was like, when he was my age, he got to. And yeah. I understand that a lot more now, but I really struggled with that. And then she was always more of the day to day kind of on the parenting side. And my dad really only got heavily involved if it was a bigger deal.
Okay.
And so I think there was one time in particular, I deserved it. I had given attitude. I had done several things wrong. And she took my phone and she said, when I look through there, is there going to be anything else? Tell me now. This is your one shot. You get a free pass if you just go ahead and tell me. And yes, unfortunately, there was going to be even more things. And she said, you know what? This is your free pass. Thank you for being honest. This is your one and only, but I'm not going to tell your dad. And I honestly, I know, yes, sorry, dad, but I really do think it actually kind of helped because I was honest and I didn't do it again. And I didn't need another free pass. I knew I wasn't getting one and I never needed another one. And I do kind of think it helps that teamwork of, for some reason, I was just giving her attitude. I don't know why. But I think it kind of helps me be like, oh, wait, okay. Yeah. You like, it kind of established.
Yeah.
And kind of the same thing with my brother. He had found out I was always snitching on him when I was younger. And then as soon as he found out one thing I had done wrong, he said, hey, instead of taking that opportunity to say that, he said, hey, why don't we just be, we're just going to be friends from now on. And we're just not, we're going to be on our little team. And then that was us establishing ours. And then,
it's just so kind funny, of the dynamic, how it always kind of pivots and during the age, because like I'm praying, I mean, so Kendall Rose, you know, is about to be 10 and Addie's about to be 15. And sometimes they're like best friends and sometimes they're like, but I think.
And when one kid requires a lot more attention than the other kid.
Yes.
So the other thing I wanted to say about parenting is, you know, the same rules do not work for all the kids, right?
Yeah.
Like what I had to do managing Chandler and his big personality didn't work for Caitlin. She did not need or want those things. And she proved to me that I did not need to really circle the wagon all the time like I had to do with Chandler.
Yeah, not even rules necessarily, just like that level of Chandler needed constant reminders, do your homework and do this. And to me that felt, well, of course I've already done it. Why would I not have already done it? Why would I not be doing it? And so to me that felt, instead of like helpful to me, that felt the opposite. So I think every kid's different.
Yeah, she viewed it as, you know, me kind of being in her business and you know, at least for Chandler, it was a necessity. So one of the things is not parenting all your kids exactly the same. Figure out those triggers and figure out who, yes, unfortunately, that one of your kids is always going to require more attention than the other one.
Yeah.
And we struggle with that a little bit. And then, you know, once we kind of got those things under control and Caitlin started realizing that she wouldn't have wanted that level of attention anyway, and, you know, she realized, hey, I'm doing my thing. You stay in your corner. And yes, my brother definitely needs that over attention that I don't need. So not parenting your kids and not every rule is going to apply to every kid.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's very important for sure.
Sure. One of your questions was, you know, did we ever have a situation that was stressful and how did we come back to it? For me, I really felt like when Caitlin got a concussion when she was a junior and playing volleyball. And Kaylin had been playing club volleyball or doing cheer or dance or, you know, since she was 5 years old. And after Kaylin's concussion, she made the very adult professional decision to not play her senior year. And I'm going to tell you, that was hard on me. You know, parents always claim they don't live vicariously through their kids, but they do. And it was hard on me because I wanted that last moment. I wanted her to get everything that she had worked so hard for, whether it was a scholarship or just the accolades or whatever it was. And it took a lot to really trust that that was the best decision for her. And while I might have been talking to Clay on the side, my God, I can't believe it. Yes. You know, all the things. I never said those to her.
I actually was going to say, I don't really remember that.
Yeah, I never said that to her, but it was hard for me. But it turned out that was one of the very moments that I knew Kaylin was absolutely an adult and could make all the decisions that she ever needed to make going forward, because she did that for the right reasons for herself, and that she put her mind and body before anything else, before, you know, getting social media posts, before being the best setter, you know, all of those things that kids, the rewards that people think they need to feel good about themselves. And she set all of that aside for her, you know, really, that was the best thing for her. And it was just hard for me. But I knew in that very moment that Kaylin was golden and she was just going to make great decisions from there on.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. Yeah. And so you never saw that? You never saw her upset about it?
I didn't know. I was like, hey, I don't want to play. And she said, I think you should think about it. And I thought about it. And it really was the best decision for me. I was not going to get a scholarship. I was not that good.
It's not true.
I also ended up getting to spend a lot of time with my grandma before she passed away. So that was another really big thing. I was able to spend my entire senior year online and spend a lot of time with her, a lot of time with my family. And it ended up being a really great amount of time together right before I went to college. And so, yeah, I do think one last thing I want to mention, I'm sure all moms are like this, and I just happen to think mine's the most amazing, but my mom really is the glue of our family. She's so selfless in all of her actions. It's beautiful to watch. And yes, with our family, we need someone to do that, especially with the boys. That's been a true light to our family and a light to our lives. So I think that's also helped our relationship and our entire family. So.
Yeah.
Thanks for saying that. So, and always paying compliments to your kids because, getting girls to accept, you know, mind and body all together with all the stressors in the world is so very important. Teaching your daughter to feel confident in addressing the problems that come up and things that are said. The best thing I've ever done is somehow manage with a lot of community warriors is teach my kids to love their mind and body and be really appreciative of the people that they're surrounded by. So anyway,
and all that God has given you.
Yeah,
absolutely. 100%. Anyway, this has been awesome. Thank you.
Thank you both. I know y'all just got back yesterday, so thank you for taking the time. I know y'all's lives are both like going.
And we did just have the most amazing
trip. Right.
Can't wait to have dinner and talk about it. I want to hear all about it. It looked amazing. Yeah. It looked beautiful. Yeah.
Really.
Well, thank you both. That's it for this episode of Real Women of Bastrop. If today's story moved you, made you laugh, or reminded you of the power of community, share it with a friend and please leave us a quick review. It helps more people find these stories and the women behind them.